This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am delighted and honored to be your host for this show. We are so thankful and grateful to bring on a diverse array of guests, from music to artisans and craftsmen and poets, and all of them with a Western flair. We try to keep it pretty Western, and we just have a lot of fun and just enjoy every minute of it. And today's guests are talk about fun. We are definitely going to have fun with them. And we're going to have Miss Devin and the Outlaw on today, otherwise known as Devin Dawson and Jesse Robertson. And before we bring them on, we're going to listen to a song that Devin wrote called Unshine.
I am the bright and shining sun. I shine my light on everyone.
But not always.
One day down the middle of the USA, come a shadow streaking to obscure the day. We heard the word on everyone's lips.
It's a great American solar eclipse.
No way to get a reservation, 'cause the moon's got an inclination to pull folks here from far and near and watch the daylight disappear.
Come out in the unshine when the sun and moon align. Hey, we'll have a fun time. Being under the umbra sure is fine out in the unshine.
Beer. I get to be the star this year. I may be of much smaller size, but I will not apologize. When I steal the corona from the king, Bailey's beads and the diamond ring, I'm orbiting above it all.
While people wax poetical,
come out in the unshine. When the sun and moon align, hey, we'll have a fun time. Being under the umbra sure is fine out in the unshine. The populace in totality, a solid line from sea to sea, all struck with astronomy, the moon and sun in syzygy.
As the day grows dark and deep, we'll watch the chickens fall asleep. Frogs will call, mosquitoes bite, when the morning turns to night.
sunshine when the sun and moon align. Man, we'll have a fun time. Being under the umbra sure is fine, out in the sunshine. We brave the waning of the dawn in this celestial phenomenon. Darkness blankets everyone as the dragon eats the sun.
Now everywhere along the line we're basking in the great sunshine. Wherever skies are high and clear,
you'll not see the photosphere. Come out in the sunshine when the sun and moon align. Yeah, we'll have a fun time. Being under the umbra sure is fine, out in the sunshine.
We're playing in the sunshine.
Hey, did you bring the untan lotion?
Don't you worry about your tan line.
Wouldn't want to get an unburn.
We'll sing in the sunshine.
I tell you what, this is an award-winning duo that came together. Fate brought them together in such an extraordinary way, and we're going to talk about that. But they are award-winning. They are infectious. They are pure joy. And I am so thrilled to have on this show today Devin Dawson and Jesse Robertson, Miss Devin and the Outlaw. So welcome, you guys.
Good to be with you.
Linda. Oh, I love that line. Where's the untan lotion? That was great.
I sure that had to get an unburn.
An unburn. True. Okay, so Devin, I mean, this is so, you are off the wall. I love you, girlfriend, but you are off the wall. But this is even off the wall for you. So how did you come to write this song?
Well,
oh, my gosh.
We're going on an Alaskan cruise in mid-August with Judy James, and it's a special thing for her 20th anniversary of her being on the air, and she plays all of our songs of everybody in Western music. She plays you, Belinda, she plays us, she plays everybody, and anyway, as soon as that cruise is in port, comes back into Vancouver, British Columbia, our sons are going, my sons, with Chuck Dawson is my husband, and our sons are going on this trip with us, and they said, we have one stipulation. We want to go to Central Oregon to see the solar eclipse because it's going to be the best viewing in the country out there, and it's on August 21st, so it's 2 days after we dock in Vancouver. So we crafted a house concert at John Seeger's place. Information about that is online at our website, and we're going to be joining the Great Unwashed because half, probably the entire West Coast is going to head for Central Oregon because to see that would be the closest, really clear viewing. The eclipse is going to cross the entire nation in a diagonal line, and it's very rare to have a total solar eclipse cover the entire United States from shore
wow.
to shore.
And it, wow.
Yeah, but the totality is for about a 20-mile band. You'd have to look on maps. There's plenty on the internet about this event, the greatamericansolareclipse.com and all that stuff. But anyway, it comes onto the United States shores north of Portland, I believe it is. But see, that can be cloudy. So you cross the Cascades and you're in Central Oregon, you've got clear skies virtually all the time. And
right.
near Madras, Oregon, they started booking. They were sold out on hotels.
Okay. She asked how you came to write the song.
Well, okay, because it's such a big deal.
She didn't want to know the entire trip that we're taking.
Dude, I was just getting warmed up. Anyway,
there's going to be this incredible solar eclipse that's going to happen in the best place in Oregon. Go.
We're going to be doing a house.
I'll answer your question. She didn't write the song by herself. Her two geeky sons and I helped. Okay.
I asked my sons, who are geeky people. They're like computer science engineers, both of them. They're twins. I said, I think it'd be cool if we wrote a song together. I want to write a song for the solar eclipse because they're going to do this house concert there, and be going to see it, so let's write a song. And they gave me all the geeky back stuff, you know, like all those. How many songs can you find that are written about, that use the word syzygy?
Are
up. Like zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
One now.
Now the part about the frogs croaking, mosquitoes biting, birds stop singing, that was all my idea.
Yes, it was.
Of course,
Jesse sees we've written this song and he's going like, he has all these great additional ideas about how it affects the natural world, because, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. And so he contributed quite a bit.
Chickens go loose, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to be out standing in some farmer's field out there listening to and watching all this stuff.
Fun.
You're going to have to
do a live Facebook thing. You're going to need
The only thing about that is you don't really want to ruin it for everybody else by talking on Facebook. You kind of need to do silence during the actual totality, just out of respect for the moment, because you got to
Just move away from the group, girlfriend. You can get out of your shot and go do a live video feed and come back. I mean, come on.
We could do four minutes of silence.
If I can get a good reception out there and all, what I'll do is I'll put my phone live on Facebook, and everybody can watch how it gets dark and then starts lightening back up, because it's supposed to go just like it was night. That's the way it'll be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why the mosquitoes start biting and the frogs start croaking and the chickens go to roost, because it actually is like night.
Wow.
It affects insects and bird life.
Wow.
Yeah, you might have to cancel your gig that's elsewhere and book something there.
It's hooked up to Oregon. Oh, my goodness.
One of the lines does say you can't get a reservation, no way to get a reservation. And that's what I was fixing to say, is that those hotels in that area booked up a year in advance. You just couldn't get. And they were going for $600 a night at Motel 6.
Oh.
I mean, you know, little bitty motel.
Whoa.
Yeah. Supply and demand.
That's crazy.
Can't get an RV either. You know,
I wish I owned a Motel 6 in Oregon.
Isn't that the truth? Well, let's move off of the eclipse.
Okay.
Let's leave the eclipse behind, that we have this great eclipse song, which is so cool. I think I may have to post it on my Facebook page on that day, and that would be really fun. Now that I have a little recording of it, so cool. So it's time to do another song. So let's talk about Nothing in My Letterbox. Tell me about that song.
Well, that's a Dale Evans song that's relatively obscure. I don't think it was ever in a movie, but it's one of the ones she recorded. And I have tried to find, all I could finally come up with was the author of the composer, but it's just like very obscure. And Letterbox has a special significance to me. My brother lives in Port Townsend, Washington, and he does a lot of business at his postal box, because he's quite a mover and shaker, producer, author, newspaper columnist, et cetera, et cetera. And he has a nationwide audience, so he's always down there at the Port Townsend post office. And when I've gone on, Jesse and I have sung in that post office, and they always request us to do this song. So we decided to put it on there. And we did a little tweak on the lyric. At one point in the lyric, if you listen, we mentioned Port Townsend. So they were thrilled.
We'll have to listen for that. That's fun. So let's listen to Nothing in My Letterbox and picture you guys in the post office singing this song.
Since the night he said goodbye, nothing in my letterbox, he just doesn't write. Can it be that he forgot?
back to you.
Nothing's in my letterbox, Hort Townsend, W.A. Maybe he's not writing, 'cause he's writing back today. Maybe he's not writing, 'cause he's writing back today.
So cute. I heard it. Port Townsend, W.A. That was cute.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't usually ready for Port Townsend. Hey, Jesse, did I detect an Elvis appearance there?
I think that was Elvis there, yeah. Maybe I'm not writing because I'm writing back to you, baby.
Well,
you know,
you
I go to Vegas here sometimes, you know.
Uh-oh. What? Gone into his aliases.
Yeah, I'm just going to show some out there.
Uh-oh.
Time out.
The guy only gets to say a few words,
and then the girls have to talk. Okay.
That's right. Well, you can talk. You can talk first after I ask this question. How about that, Jesse? And then Devin can jump in. Okay, so you get to go first. So our next couple of songs that are coming up have a definite Paniolo kind of a thing going on. And so I know that y'all went to Hawaii, and these are some songs that does. I think Devin wrote them both, I think, maybe, or one at least, I know for sure. Jesse, why don't you tell us a little bit about your trip to Hawaii that you guys went on?
Oh, this is our second trip to Hawaii, and it was fantastic. Except for the drunk that got up on stage with us. But anyway, that's another story. Devin wrote this song, Palaka. And Palaka,
we're doing Hawaiian Cowboy. You can tell us about Palaka next.
Hawaiian Cowboy? Well, you didn't tell me which one was going first.
Well, I'm sorry. Hawaiian Cowboy is first.
You know, I can read minds, but it's hard over the telephone.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Jesse, I sent you the list.
Okay.
I sent you the order.
Okay. And it's on my phone, and I'm talking on my phone.
Okay.
Anyway, Hawaiian Cowboy was originally a Roy Rogers song. He sang it. And it was written for him because
Rex
he
Allen.
Was a... Well,
no,
Rex
was...
Allen, but...
He wrote it.
No. Yeah. Anyway, it was done because Roy was an auctioneer at one time, and he could and a square dance caller, and this kind of makes some fast talking in there, and so he sang this song, and I thought, you know, I need to learn this song if we're going to Hawaii, so that's where that came about.
Yeah, it has yodel in it too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Actually,
the part
that has the more difficult vocalization is the other. There's two songs written that are called Hawaiian Cowboy, and one is an actual Paniolo song written by Sol K. Bright in of the islands. Sol is like Solomon, but his name is like 5 miles long, and I can't pronounce it. But anyway, he wrote Hawaiian Cowboy in the native language. Then simultaneously, another song was written by Rex Allen that Roy Rogers recorded, and I think Rex also recorded it. But, and so we mashed them up together. And, Jesse, what year did we do that?
Huh?
What year did we do that?
This ought to be interesting. So tell me, how did the locals over there, how did they receive the Western Swing that you guys do? Did they?
They love it.
It's like when they come over here and they do their Hawaiian music, you know, you don't get to hear that all the time, so that's fine.
Right.
And I was telling Devin, hey, I need to learn this, I need to learn that. She said, no, we need to do our music because they don't get to hear that all the time over there.
She was right.
She was right. They fell in love with us. They loved it.
That, of course.
So,
how can did not fall in love with you guys. So let's listen to let's listen to Hawaiian Cowboy, the mashup.
A cowboy took a trip to Hawaii, and on the beach one night in Waikiki, the music that he heard was so enchanting, he lost his heart and sang this melody. I wanna hear you sing, my lady,
sing, my lady.
Hear you play your ukulele.
Play ukulele.
I wanna stay here in Hawaii,
stay in Hawaii,
and learn the wiki wiki wacky woo. I wanna love you and woo you. I'll stop my riding, roping, loafing, everything for you if you will sing for me, my lady. A song of love beneath Hawaiian skies. I wanna love you and woo you. I'll stop my riding, roping, loafing, everything for you if you will sing for me, my lady. A song of love beneath Hawaiian skies. A cowboy took a trip to Hawaii, and on the beach one night in Waikiki, the music that he heard was so enchanting, he lost his heart and sang this melody. I wanna love you and woo you. I'll stop my riding, roping, loping, everything for you if you will sing for me, my lady. A song of love beneath the Hawaiian skies.
On that girlfriend. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Yeah.
We'll do that song live. We go into a whole spiel near the end, but just before we hit the double yodel in Hawaiian, we go into a whole spiel about me teaching him how to sing the lyrics.
I say, listen, I'm a Texas boy and I only speak Texan. And she says, oh, no, it's easy. And she starts telling me all this stuff and about the flyers and everything. And then she'll say, oh, and this is the best part. I say, what's that? She said, well, when the cowboys sing about flyers, they're not really singing about flyers. I said, yeah, what are they singing about? She said, they're singing about their girls. I said, oh, I like that. And then we go into it.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay, Jesse, now I'll let you tell us. I know that Devin wrote it, and we'll let her chime in, but now you tell us about the next song, Palaka.
Palaka. That is
palaka.
Hawaiian for plaid. And the palaka that the Hawaiians wear was originally made for the paniola, which is Hawaiian cowboys. And
the plantation workers, yeah. Plantation workers, remember?
Okay, then you tell it.
Well, it's always like this. I didn't mean to upset. It's okay. Well, in the 1880s, they started using it when they'd bring people from all over the Pacific Rim to work in the plantations. And that they used palaka fabric for the shirts, and it went with the blue jeans, and it was found it to be comfortable, long-lasting. And, of course, I guess they had long sleeves, didn't they, Jesse? A lot of long-sleeve shirts.
Yeah, they did. Well, yeah, because you got a lot of sunshine that you're in when you're working out there. Those pineapple trees, those pineapple trees aren't but about, what, 3 feet tall?
3 feet high. That's true. But the thing is that the Paniello keep the palaca up and going today. They're able to, they continue to wear it in shirts. They continue to wear it in bandanas. And the Aloha shirt took over in the Hawaiian closet starting about the 1940s or 50s,
The pattern of the palaka shirt is what makes it strictly Hawaiian, because nobody else uses the same pattern that they use. Now, they make it in different colors now, but I think, what wasn't it, red and white was the original?
Yep, classic. Yeah, it's originally classic, a Japanese plaid.
Now they've got green and white, blue and white. White's always in it with another color.
Just one other color. It's not multicolored.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's so cool. So you wrote, so what made you write this song? I mean,
I got intrigued about it because Jesse and I went to, I think it was Honoka'a on the Big Island, and we met an elderly couple who ran a tailor shop in the little village, and we were walking along the street, and we turned in there, and they ended up making Jesse an Aloha shirt. But the man told us about palaka, and it just kind of stayed with me. And I thought, you know, most of the world doesn't realize that the truly Hawaiian fabric, the fabric of the islands, is palaka. It's not the Aloha shirt. And, tapa, of course, tapa cloth would be the tapa cloth is made from bark, and that is truly a Polynesian fabric made out of tree bark. But this was, of course, imported in many ways. You know, they brought the cotton in and brought the workers in. But it is part of the history of Hawaii, and I just thought it just felt inspired to write a thing to kind of put a little spotlight on that.
You know what?
And the cowboy.
Devin, you can write a song about anything. You just blow me away, and it's fun, and you make it make sense. You just have a gift for that. I just can't believe you sometimes. Well, let's listen to Devin's song, Palaka.
When a man from Makawao wears palaka, wow, that is quite a sight to see. When he's riding by the sea or on the mountain side of Hale, how they love to holla, pahea oku. That means howdy, how are you? And then they work all day until they pau hana. From ni'i hao to molokai, when they work the cattle, why do they wear that kind? In the rain or shine, 'cause it's palaka. Everybody dances round the island. o'clock is done. Let me tell you, son, you needn't be a-crying. There's plenty good Hawaiians still wearing palaka. Palaka, palaka no e ka'oi.
That makes me want to go buy some palaka. I need a palaka.
You can find it online, you know.
Oh, I bet you can. Oh, so cool. Well, we've been having so much fun, but I do want to wax just a little bit serious here because I love the story of how the Lord brought the two of you together. And it is such a sweet, touching, awesome story of God's grace and God's just turning lemons into lemonade and just so just please you know, tell us so both of you whoever
I
wants
can try to
out.
Give you a small synopsis on it, but it's kind of hard without, you know, it's really a touching story if you tell it the way that I really like to tell it. But basically my wife had passed away. I'd gone through some medical problems. I had decided I needed to lose weight. Well, actually, before that, I'm sitting at home on my couch. I'm going through cancer treatment because I've had lymphoma cancer. I'm sitting on my couch and not thinking or doing anything. And all of a sudden, the voice in my head says, "Jesse, you need to make a decision. You need to either choose to live or choose to die. Right now you're choosing to die. What do you really want to do?"
Yeah, he was in depression.
And nobody in my house, just me. And I thought a little bit, and finally I said, "Lord, I think I want to live." And so I started trying to do things to bring myself out of the depression. What's crazy is I knew I was in a depression. I just didn't know what to do to get out of it. And I went and I joined the YMCA and I started doing a weight loss program and all this kind of stuff. But when I would come home and be alone here, I would drop way down in the dumps. So my cousin said, "Hey, come go with us. We want to go out to the Stock Show and Rodeo here in Fort Worth. We got these people we want you to see, or we got these, you know, some stuff we want you to go see with us." And I didn't want to do it. I'd tell them no. And luckily my cousin wouldn't take no for an answer. So I went with them and I saw the Quavy sisters, which is the ones they first took me to see. They were nice. I enjoyed it. I put on a fake smile because at this time I was in a guilt trip where I felt like I wasn't supposed to enjoy anything because my wife was gone. And if I enjoyed something, I was being untrue to her because she wasn't there to enjoy it with me. So after that, they took me over. They said, "Well, we've got these other people we want you to see." So we went over there to another building. And when we walked into the building, my cousin's wife said, "Well, she's not here." And I didn't know at the time she was talking about Devin. But that's who she was talking about. Anyway, Tommy said, "Well, let's go sit down. They'll be down to do the show in a little bit." So we went down and sat down, and I got the strongest urge all of a sudden just to look up and to my right. And when I did, Devin come through the doors, and she started walking down the stairs. And I'm going to tell it just like I saw it. She got about 4 or 5 steps down, and she quit walking because she was floating. And there was this, I'm going to cry. I'm telling you, I'm going to cry.
It's like he saw me with a glow around me.
It was an aurora around her, and she was just floating down the stairs. And then and she come down about 10 feet like that, and then the glow kind of went away, and I could see she was walking again.
And she I was walking the whole time.
She tapped Chuck on the shoulder and said, you know, and he looked up at her and she motioned for him to come on, and they went, Chuck's her husband. Anyway, they went on out on the stage with some of the Opry people and they started doing their music. And when they did, I forgot about everything. All I could hear was the music because it reminded me of when I was a kid and we used to have family reunions, and it was all it was a big jam session because everybody in my family played something and sang the old Jimmy Rogers and stuff like that, you know, old cowboy songs mm-hmm. too. And that was what the music, and it was the first time that I smiled, a true smile, and didn't feel guilty. So when we went to meet her after the show, we're standing up there, and they introduced me to her, and I shake her hand, and I cannot wipe this grin off my face. I step back and let them talk to her, and I'm standing over to the side, but I cannot wipe the grin off my face, you know, the smile.
I didn't know why I was laughing. Yeah, I just thought, well, okay, he's a grinning fool, you know.
Yeah,
I had no idea
Well, anyway, when we got through talking and we're leaving the building, from the building to the car, I went all the way back down in the depression I was in. Well, on the way home, they said, we see her, this group, every Sunday. Come see us, you know, go with us this Sunday. Well, I didn't want to go. I said no. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. So we went back. We saw them. They did their show. And then this is a God part here is because Devin, you know, after a show, Devin never leaves. She does not leave. Everybody wants to talk to Devin. This particular time, she disappeared. She went back into the office of the Opry because she had made a mistake on some chords in one of the songs, which I couldn't tell. But she knew she had, and she's back there trying to fix what she had messed up. So my cousin took me back there. Him and his wife took me back there to meet her again. They let me go in first. And I don't know how the words came out, why they even came out. But I said, when I walked in, I said, I need to learn to play the guitar so I can come sing with y'all. And she looked up with her big smile and said, well, you don't have to play the guitar. Here, sing something. What do you want to sing? And this is when I made her almost fall off the table. I said, do you know Man Walks Among Us by Marty Robbins? And she did. She just, her jaw dropped, and she almost slipped off the table. And she said, yeah? What key? And I said, well, I don't know. She said, well, start singing. I'll find you. So I started singing that song. And Belinda, I know you've known Devin longer than I have. Have you ever known her to stop playing a song in the middle of it?
Never.
I mean, she could not finish that song. In the middle of the song, she had to quit. She was sobbing. She had tears in her eyes. And I'll let you tell her. I'll let her tell you what she did.
Because at Cowtown Opry in the Fort Worth Stockyards, and by the way, this is my 21st year to be artistic director, I mean, you know, mentoring adults and kids. When people come to, we have no prerequisites about joining, except that you'd be willing to learn and to learn Western music and to dress Western. We have a dress code and to be schooled in Western repertoire and stagemanship. And we have kids in it and adults. Well, so here's this guy applying to sing, and he wants to do this gorgeous song. It's like always been one of my favorite Marty Robbins songs. I mean, I think of all Western songs, that's one of the most beautiful. And for him to, this person I don't even know, and by the way, we desperately needed a good male singer in the Opry at the time, and he was a tenor, and he starts singing, and I'm just breaking down because it's not only emotional for me, that's such a treasured song, but to be this gift standing in front of me who doesn't need to be explained to what Western music is. And so it was like a shoe-in. I mean, you don't have to be perfect or something to join the Cowtown Opry, but he just
She said, when she was sobbing, she said, well, you don't have to play guitar. Come sing with us sometime. And I thought I'd done something wrong because she was crying. And so, well, you know how it is with a guy and a girl. You know, what'd I do?
Yes.
But the next Sunday, they had me go with them again. And so I'm sitting there in the audience, and Devin goes, after a while, I've been there a while, and finally she sees me. She says, "Oh, there's Jesse. Jesse, come get my book and sing a song for us." And I went, "Huh?" Because I've never, the only time I've ever gotten up in front of people was at church, and I knew everybody.
Well,
and
yeah.
She wants me to
like
get up
that.
And sing. She wants me to get up and sing in front of all these people, which I was a ham in school. And did all the plays and everything.
You were a ham? You were?
Yeah, well, I'm still a little bit hammy. But anyway, I get up, and everybody around me finally talks me into it. I get up there, and I take her book, and I go back, and I come back with the song Tumbling Tumbleweeds. And she looks at that song. She knows it's a hard song. And she leans up. She leans off mic. She says, "You want to do this song?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Do you know this song?" And I said, "Well, I've heard it a couple times." And I said, "But if you want me to do something else, I will." She said, no, if this is what you want to do, it's okay. And I said, "All right." So we started it, and I did it like I had been doing that song my entire life. I mean, just like. Did the pauses and the slowdowns and everything you're supposed to do just perfect in that song. And she realized how well she could harmonize with me.
Hell yeah.
And after it was over with, she came looking for me and insisted that I join the Opry. And she said, and I kept saying, "Well, I'm thinking about me," you know, kind of him on. She said, "If I have to pay your dues, you're joining the Opry today."
Yeah, you let that one get away.
Anyway, that's how we first met and kind of got together. And what was funny is when she said the reason she asked me about that is because she thought I was going to do Man Walks Among Us. And I said, "Well, I didn't need the book for that. You told me to find one in the book." So I, like a good little boy, I did what I was told.
Oh gosh! And that was the last time, right?
I
can't tell you how many times.
I tell you what, my pastor taught me two words that have kept me out of trouble with girls since I've known him. And that was, "Yes, dear." Those two words will keep you out of trouble with your wife, your girlfriend, your mother, any of those. "Yes, dear."
Yes, dear. That's
so I learned those two words and I used them many times.
Well, I tell you what, the you two as a duo, I've often said, I've seen you, Devin, in many incarnations with groups, and I know, and I was always struck by the fact that your energy level was always so much higher than the rest of the band or the group or anybody that you were with. It was just
makes
like you
a
were
cup
just
of coffee nervous.
All over this day. I mean, you were just always, this was you and Jesse together are the first ever I've seen your energy matched with someone. You guys are so well matched and you bring, I mean, talk about entertainment from the get-go. You guys are just awesome on stage. So this really
happened
pairing from God.
It really is. This happened about 10 years ago, so we're celebrating our 10th year performing together as a duo.
Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it's been 10 years. Wow.
In 07, we actually started doing the first few gigs, and then in 08, we named the duo, and he joined the WMA, and we competed in the Harmony Contest. So that could be the 08 is the official of the actual naming of the group, but he was in the Cowtown Opry. I thought it was 06. He and I argue about that. I thought he joined in early 06, but it might have been 07 possibly. But anyway, and he was so easy to mentor. I mean, Jesse has timing and feel. He has humor. He looks good on stage. He sings beautifully. He has rhythm. And then he plays saxophone, you know, that was great.
I was going to say, he plays a mean saxophone.
Yeah, he and I had not ever performed with anyone on a sax before, and I realized it could fit in Western swing. You know, Bob Wills used them. Mm-hmm. It didn't fit too sure. well in old cowboy songs, but, you know, so sometimes sure. I'd frown
well,
at him.
Wait till they hear our version of you know, the one that we're working on.
Oh.
No, not that one.
Oh.
The Spanish song
yeah.
we're doing.
Well, yeah. we'll have to have you back on to share that song. Well, we need to go to a song.
Sure.
We are running out of time. We could go like we really could go for like 2 hours with you guys. I just love you guys. But go ahead and tell us about this song, Ballad of Mr. Elmer.
Oh,
we
that's
love
one,
you too,
I guess...
Glenda.
Hey,
I'm trying to remember the
date on that one. Jesse didn't have anything to do with writing that. I co-wrote it with Monty Moncrief Teal, and he is a descendant of the Moncrief family, which is oil and ranching, one of the big Texas families. But Monty Teal is a poet. He's a cowboy poet, and he's an adult learner of doing cowboy poetry and everything. And he came to me one day and said, I think I'd like to write a song about my grandfather, Elmer Moncrief. And he was born in near the Sulphur Springs area in East Texas, east of Dallas, in the song, 1897 or something. And he served in World War One, and for like 30 years or 40 years, he carried the American flag in the little town 4th of July parade, and he was known as a horseman, you know. The song is just a sweet song about a man who lived his whole life as a good man in East Texas ranching, and he just was a man of God, and I love the little song, and I believe I had a little help on the melody from Aaron Walton, who plays he actually plays on the recording. I think you can barely hear it. He plays some bagpipes because he went to Lyon College in Arkansas on a bagpipe scholarship, and he's well graduated now. He's an organist in church. And anyway, I'd known him since he was a mid teenager, and I knew he played bagpipes. So I said, "Well, you know, you're familiar with Celtic music, and so you might help me out a little on this to get it a more Scottish feel, because that's where the Moncriefs came from, was Scotland." And,
wow.
yeah, they're a Texas Scots family.
Well, let's listen to Ballad of Mr. Elmer.
Thank you.
There's a Bible on the table, which marks their family tree. The Moncriefs came from Scotland. They crossed the roguish sea. Their people came to Texas seeking freedom at war's end. The blue and gray are history, but the Moncriefs start again. In 1897, the Hopkins County Clay stirred the fires of freedom as he toddled off to play. He loved the land as patriots do, for that's where it began. And at his father's knee he learned to be a cattleman. They called him Mr. Elmer, a hero and a pard. He was a frugal Scotsman and a man of high regard. Elmer Moncrief lived his life for what was kind and wise. And I loved to see the freedom in his eyes. In 1917, the Great War had begun, and Uncle Sam was calling out to all his Texas sons. Among them, Mr. Elmer went to serve a world away, with a heart that burned for freedom and returned to Texas clay. Wrote letters home from Paris to his mother, not some girl, but he returned to marry a lovely Texas belle. Her name was Lily Carpenter. She was a lady without peer. He built her a cottage where they lived for 60 years. Oh, they called him Mr. Elmer.
a hero and a pard. He was a valiant Scotsman, for freedom he stood guard. Mr. Elmer lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I love to see the freedom in his eyes. The rodeo committee in the town of Sulphur Springs requested that he'd take old Glory out in saddle rings and post her proudly in the Independence Day parade. For 30 years the crowd admired the handsome team they made. Then came the day they gathered to pay their deep respect, as young and old remembered his patriotic trek. A Highland piper played to signify his race was run. It seemed a voice was saying, saddle up and ride, my son. Oh, they called him Mr. Elmer, a hero and a pard. Loyal Texas Scotsman has gone to his reward. Mr. Elmer lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I love to see the freedom in his eyes. My granddaddy lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I love to see the freedom in his eyes.
Oh, that's a good song, Devin.
Thank you.
No, well, the production no one can write on it. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah, you could definitely hear the bagpipes in the background. That was really a nice touch. Well, I can't believe this, you guys, but we are, like, out of time. I can't believe an hour has gone by. It has absolutely flown. Oh, my gosh. You guys have been we're going to have you guys back.
You know what,
so much,
Belinda?
So much more we need to talk about. What, sir?
I was just going to tell you, Belinda, this has been more fun than putting socks on a rooster.
That's our motto, by the way.
Yeah, that's our motto. Miss Devin and the Outlaw are more fun than putting socks on a rooster.
I think it's on our website somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't even want to try that, actually, but okay. you guys. Well, I want to say again that you guys are going to be on that cruise with Judy James, and from what I understand, you're going to be, you know, picking and grinning on there as well. So
as far as we know, there are still places for people to book a room and come join us.
Right.
Well, I texted Judy while we were working on the show and said, let me know if there's still room on the cruise. And if there is, we're going to get her back on and just really, really talk about this cruise and see if we can't fill her cruise up. That would be so fun. I mean, Alaska is like, are you kidding me? But just, oh my gosh, just you guys being on there would be enough to make me want to go.
Alaska was on my bucket list, so when this came up, I just had to go. I had to.
It's the only state that Chuck, my husband, has never been in, so that's going to be a first for him. And I've always wanted to go to Alaska, and you know, been to Hawaii like 8 times, but time to get
I tell you what, if we didn't have a gig, if I didn't have a gig, I would so be on that cruise with you guys. That would be more fun than putting socks on a rooster.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, gosh. Well, thanks again for joining us, you guys. This has been so much fun, and I knew it would be. And we're going to close out with your portion with this song here called Sharing the Moon with You. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we go into it?
Well, there is a mention of Calico, and what that is Calico, California, which is above Barstow in southern the Mojave Desert. And, Jesse, you and I were doing
a gig
there.
It's where the silver mines were.
It's silver and gold both, I think. And it was it's now owned by the county of San Bernardino County. But we had done a performance there, and it was a half moon dropping in the western sky when we came off the mountain to go down to Barstow, and it was so gorgeous that we just, it really inspired us to write this song. So,
yeah, and it looked like it had been dipped in honey.
Yeah, so beautiful.
And
so
the hills, the hills off to the west were just, you know, black. You couldn't see any definition in the hills. And it reminded me of those felt pictures they used to do, you know, where they made the black felt.
Velvet.
That's what they made me look like. Velvet.
Thank
black
velvet
in there. Yeah.
Right.
And so it was just an amazing sight.
This is a beautiful song. You guys did a great job on it. I think it's a good way to close out our portion. Thank you again for being on the show, guys.
Yeah, let me say one quick word of how much we appreciate Rich O'Brien as our producer, because just about every cut we've played has been Rich O'Brien's hand on it. So it's amazing. We love him.
Well, he's extraordinary. I am a huge fan of Rich. I mean, he produced my award-winning album.
Yes.
So definitely kudos to that guy. We all love him a lot. So thank you. And thanks again for being on the show. And we're going to close out this portion with Sharing the Moon with you.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
Sharing the moon with you, dipped in a honey hue.
Black velvet hills for two, sharing the moon with you.
Calico breezes sigh,
coyotes go scurrying by. Half moon hangs low in the sky, sharing the moon, you and I. Half moon just floating up there, like half of my heart in the air.
Evenings like this are so rare,
moments like this are to share.
Chirping low, whispering no need to go.
Let's linger in the glow
as I drop my head on your shoulder. Seems life begins anew under that golden.
Sharing the moon with you. Just floating up there, like half of my heart in the air. Evenings like this are so rare, moments like this are to share.
Seems life begins anew under that golden.
Sharing the moon with you seems like the thing to do.
Oh yeah, nothing's comparing to
sharing the moon with you.
Oh,
that's just so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Just, I love these two people. To me, are just the epitome of joy. And when I think about them and I think about just their both of their walk for the Lord and how that is just the core and the essence of who they are, they can't help but be joyful. And that's one of the things that I love about walking with the Lord, is that he can bring us joy through anything, and he can walk us through anything as long as we can cling to that joy. And some scriptures came to mind in Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And if you can find joy in the Lord, no matter what you're going through, you can walk it out, and you can walk it out with hope on the other end. And also, when you cannot find joy in your life, it makes you physically sick. And the scriptures actually speak to that in Proverbs. In Proverbs 17:22, says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." So being joyful and seeking joy and choosing joy, because sometimes it is a choice, just like Jesse on that sofa. He could choose to live or he could choose to die. You can choose to be joyful and find the joy and find the silver lining and find something to be grateful about, or you can die. You can either physically die or you can just emotionally and spiritually just dry up. So I would just encourage all of you to seek the joy in your life, find it, choose it, and live the joy in your life. As it says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." So wishing you joy. Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving all of us the gift of your time. And thank you again to our very special guest, Miss Devin and the Outlaw, for visiting and sharing with us today. And there is, of course, a never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show actually happen. And so please check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Gary has his own shows. And remember that they are all archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all of your trails be blessed.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and they're singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me. none other has ever.